Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, in the days we are in, we see a little trouble around us, and we ask for your protection for us and for those who we love and for those in our Christian family. Yes, we look to the future and how we need your guidance as we prepare for whatever is coming. Yes, Lord, guide us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is September, which is the National Preparedness Month. Plenty of people want to know what they should do to prepare. And you have to be guided by your own thoughts and understandings. I have seen some wonderful preparedness lists. And I just read one that was 8 pages. And I have looked over other ones that have been quite long also. One was about 12 pages, another was about 20 pages, all typed, single-spaced, lots and lots of items on those lists. They were full of good ideas, and I really don't think that anybody actually acquired all those items on the list. But it was a good exercise for your examination to see what kind of things you just might want to have. And I have a list too. But to me, I just think of the basics most of the time because that's as much as most people are going to do. What is the very basic for preparation? And I see that it is water and a water filter, food and warmth. And then you can add as many things to that list as you want. There can be lots and there can only be a few things. Depends on what your attitude is. But water, food, and warmth are my essentials. And everybody has different essentials. For instance, yours might include medicines or a flashlight or a first aid kit. And in the documents that we have for our identity and, for instance, where we live, those are important also. So let's go back to those three essential needs. Water is always the first on any list. You need that water so that your body and your brain do not get dehydrated. You need water to function. Otherwise, function is quickly reduced. And every expert that I have heard has said that every person needs 1 gallon of water per day. And I know that many people survive on less, but it's a good idea to have a whole gallon. And if you consider the whatever it is that you drink, whether it's coffee or milk or a lunchtime drink, whatever that might be, we do have a bunch of liquid that we drink. So consider having that 1 gallon per person per day. It's hardly enough if you add cooking or just a little bit of cleaning that you would do with water, from hand washing to even flushing the bathroom toilet. So it's just barely enough water at a gallon a day. If you're thinking of cleaning up your body or something, it's barely enough. And of course, this is talking about a natural disaster where water is not available easily. Anyway, with an earthquake or a flood, you can pretty much expect your water to stop immediately. And that is why we need to have some extra water on hand. Like a few 5 gallon containers would be great. Gallon ones are sure. But if you think about where there has been an earthquake or a flood or a natural disaster, water is always the first thing that is brought in to help people. And if there is one of those big natural disasters, oh, especially an earthquake, that would disrupt your water service, breaking water lines. And if your home is affected, you can pretty much be sure that your area is not going to be on the list of the first ones to get your water service restored. So water is essential. For other natural disasters, when you look around and you see them having happened, you know that water is the first thing delivered, not by the case, but by the pallet load. And that's how important water is. There are plenty of waterborne illnesses that just suddenly seem to appear everywhere if you are in a country setting and you need to get water from a stream or something. And that water is often enough contaminated with something or other. And that means the people who drink that water will get diarrhea. And that's a big thing to deal with. Now, our tap water is always treated, and they will turn it off if there is a danger of contamination, like with the flooding that goes on. The tap water is not safe to drink in that case. So you have to treat your water. You would have to treat your water if you got it out of the stream nearby also. So that's always what you have in mind to do. And I do like the water filters a lot for that. That's just a good idea to have a water filter. But a lot of people will use other things. Bleach is very popular. 8 drops per gallon of clear water and 16 drops per gallon of cloudy water. But there's more to it than that. I do like the passive water filter systems, as in a big Berkey would be one of them, where you put water in the top and you get water out the bottom after a few hours. So we all look at what we can do. But after water, we always look at food. In fact, food is probably the thing we think about in the event of an emergency. Let's have some food on hand. Well, most people think of canned foods. And yes, canned foods is a good option. But you have to realize that it gets to be quite a few cans if you are thinking about how many cans of food per person per day. And what is in your cupboard anyway? You're really going to like those 2 cans of peas and 2 cans of olives? Oh, well, I just mean you have to look at this all and figure out what it is you have that is sensible, that you're not going to get tired of. I just think of, we all seem to have a couple of things that don't get used, like that can of cranberry, jellied cranberry from last Thanksgiving. I mean, yes, we have cans of food, but usually we don't have them as a plan for what we're going to eat. So think about things that last for a long, long time. Like pasta lasts for dozens of years. You just have to keep it a little bit dry. That means the environment has to be a little bit controlled. But whole grains also last. Beans last. Rice lasts. And not perfectly, because you still have to do something with it. You have to, well, I like diatomaceous earth. Just a spoonful of diatomaceous earth with that. You can wash it off if you want to, or some people would just leave it in and cook with it right in there. Beans and rice, though, that's what everybody seems to think of as a backup plan, and it is a good backup plan. It's simply that you want to have other flavors to have it taste different, or maybe that's a good time for you to have a few cans of who knows what, cans of rice, cans of beans, or anything, just to make the flavor a little bit different. Even fruit is good. Anything is good to change the flavor so you don't get tired of that rice and beans. Spices are good. All sorts of things. But what does happen in an emergency? If there is a natural disaster, well, it's not just your water that goes off. You can pretty well be sure that your electricity will also go off, and your gas also. That means you're not going to be cooking on the stove, probably. There's plenty of natural disasters where those things do continue, but there's plenty of natural disasters where they do not. And so it just makes sense to me to have a propane camping stove with a couple of 5-gallon propane cans with it. To me, that is simply sensible. You also might want to be thinking about other people who need a little food, because that's what we do. We do kind things for other people. Our family, of course, our neighbors, yeah, even people we don't know. It's just that we have to be having a supply of food and use it wisely. And everybody will think a little bit different about whatever supplies you have and using them wisely. Well, And people often think they can just have a campfire to cook over and they don't need the propane stove. Well, a lot of people do use a wood-fired fire for cooking. And, you know, they're fine. They're just fine. But as I look back on my traveling days, I can think of people might have a different smell on them. And it would be from a campfire or from cooking food inside. And it's just kind of interesting. You could tell what class a person was by if they had a certain smell on them from the wood they used to cook, for instance. And that's something you could tell in traveling to other countries. Anyway. But speaking of smells, one of the things that you might want to keep in mind is to have some soap for washing your body and washing your soap, your clothes. So I do think of an unscented soap, because otherwise the scent can get rather strong, especially if you don't have enough water to have a thorough rinse. And it's just something to consider. Unscented soap is probably what you want. Well, always these things involve choices, and we all get to figure out what makes the most sense to us. But if we don't have thoughts, and if we don't have a plan, then pretty well, we do what just seems right at the moment, and that means we don't have a plan. And the plan is most effective for getting all your needs dealt with. And we all have different money to deal with. I know there's plenty of people who just get the basics, and they think that's going to be fine. And probably it will be. The very basic things like grains, whole grains, that is to say, and rice and beans, I mean, that will keep you. It's not what you just completely want, after a few days anyway, but it will do. Now, if you have a lot of money, you can buy the occasional meal, or even every meal, to have an MRE, meals ready to eat, that the military uses, or dehydrated food like campers use. There's lots of options, but everything costs, and you have to make those assessments of what your the resources that you have to put towards your food needs. And it is for emergency things. So if you don't think about it, though, you don't have a plan. And everything works better with a plan. For food, I think of course, I just said grains, but also sugar, salt, and oil. Sugar, it just helps things along. And there's all forms of sugar. You can of course use white sugar or brown sugar or molasses or honey. A lot of people like honey, and it's good to have some, at least for of all of these things, because they change the taste of the food. And so that's good. For cooking oil, I do like to have a non-GMO oil, like olive oil. There's sunflower oil also and peanut oil, but those you don't find them so easily. I have found olive oil all the time. Just make sure it's pure olive oil and not blended olive oil, if you are concerned with a GMO product, that is. The oil, in my experience, lasts a few years, and I have had olive oil that was more than 5 years old for sure, and I couldn't tell the difference. See, I put dates on the things when I buy them. So the olive oil, I don't know how long it would last. It would depend on how it was stored. If it was too hot, that would not be good for olive oil or any oil. But and always keep anything out of the direct sunlight. But in my experience, these things last a long time. Everything does. You have to use reasonable storage and care that your grains don't go bad with getting too much oxygen or sunlight. And oxygen absorbers are good for that. You put an oxygen absorber in a 5 gallon bucket of grain, for instance. And that's a great big thing. The other thing I seem to use is diatomaceous earth. A few spoonfuls of that mixed in through the grain. But other people will use other means, and that's good too. Some people will freeze their wheat for a few days or a few weeks, and that's another good alternative. It's just that you have to look into it and find out what makes sense to you. Things do last if they're stored properly. I remember once upon a time, oh, this was 10 years ago or something, I found some water that I'd put away, and it was 8 years old at the time. And I looked at that and I said, oh, what should I do with this? 8 years old. Should I recycle it, dump it out, and get new? And I said to myself, no, I'll try it because I want to know if it's still good. And I did. It was just fine. There was no smell to it. There was nothing odd about it. I drank it and it was completely fine. Yet I do strongly suggest a water filter. And like I said, that passive one, like a big Berkey style, that's good. So, and there's, again, there's nothing more important than water and a water filter. There's different ways to treat water if you get it in the woods or in a creek or something. I already said bleach. There's ultraviolet light is popular. That's with the SteriPen, which would give you a pretty much a glass of water at a time. There's other people who say you can leave your 2-liter water bottle in the sun for 8 hours and the ultraviolet light from the sun will make it safe to drink. It's sure, if everything works right, it's good. But we all have our different ideas about what is good, what works the best, and certainly have a look into it, because you don't want to have a waterborne illness that will cause you to have diarrhea. And diarrhea makes a person weak and disabled. There is no doubt about it. Now, we're not talking simple diarrhea here. We're talking about a disabling diarrhea. And that happens in countries where they do drink from streams without cleaning their water. And it's not unusual where that happens for there to be a cholera epidemic from time to time. Oh, we used to have them in this country 100 years or 100 or 200 years ago. There were cholera epidemics all over the world. There were, and there still are. It leads to diarrhea, and that kills people from dehydration. So have some anti-diarrheal pills and electrolytes to restore your system. It's just a really good idea. We do want to be aware that there are bacteria and viruses in water. Yeah. So look into that. You know, these days we even have COVID, and that is a virus too. Oh, you know how hard it is to filter that out. Well, that's a whole other subject. I better not get into that one. Otherwise, we'll be talking a little longer. COVID, you know, that is a problem, and there are lots of people who won't take that vaccine. There's plenty of nurses. Somewhere between 30% and 50% of the nurses are quitting because they will not be injected with an experimental vaccine. So just consider that one. That's a part of why we're having a hospital bed shortage. It's, you know, there's another little danger on the horizon that I kind of think about because I've heard this phrase lately. It's a talk about a dark winter that Biden has talked about. Oh, there's been quite a few politicians who have talked about the dark winter that is coming. And you might wonder about what is a dark winter. It is when there is a widespread epidemic. And I don't think it matters what kind of an epidemic, just that it is a widespread public epidemic. And that causes people not to go out, people not to make deliveries, and that makes shortages of everything. Everything, from food to hospital beds, to what you need to repair your car. That is something that is talked about by those who consider that we are going to have a dark winter. That's the term they use. So that's another reason to have your supplies. And that includes food and water, water and food, warmth, warmth. There's different people who have different ways of approaching this, and you have to look at what your concerns are and how to deal with them. Because if you are prepared, your concerns become much, much less. And like I said, water, food, and warmth are what I think of. Because shortages can happen about anything. Remember a year ago or so, it was that toilet paper shortage. Why did that happen? Why do we have enough now? Shortages, they can affect anything. We've been having shortages in the grocery stores. We've been having the costs of food rising. So shortage, it might be the time for you to get some emergency water, food, and warmth. These things can happen, a shortage that is, can happen at any time. And we know in the history books, there have been so many food shortages in history. It just happens all over the place. In our society, in other societies, everywhere. I mean, you can look in the Bible and find Bible stories, Bible and find food shortages. You can look in the history books and find food shortages. And that reminds me of about 30 years ago, I was having a talk with a retired military guy, and he was talking about food shortages in a way. He said that to contain and control people, you use food. That was over 30 years ago. And he was saying how it was a military doctrine. If people were making trouble for the society, the military would come in and control the food. And eventually, that would cause the desperate people, one way or another, to eliminate those unruly troublemakers within that society. They would get dealt with, or they would leave the region. So this thing about a food shortage is, it could be even intentional. And of course, we think back to those Bible days of there would be sieges and blockades. And I think of that 2 Kings 6:25 passage where it talks about a donkey's head selling for 80 pieces of silver. The donkey's head, not a roast from the donkey, but just the head. By my estimates, that would be about 500 of today's dollars. So, it's just something that it's shocking pieces of history that we come across, and it makes us realize that there really are good reasons to have a supply of food on hand. Whole grains. Beans and rice and whole grains. I think of legumes. I happen to like whole wheat a whole lot. And for that, you also have to remember your wheat grinder. And it's a manual wheat grinder. Because if it's an emergency, there might not be any electricity. So you need that manual wheat grinder. There's kind of no end of the list to what kind of things you could have, but for food, I do think of that sugar, salt, and oil, of course, grains, and spices for adding to that food. We do have things much better if we have a food list, because the food list helps us to stay on track for what we want. It keeps us from not buying excess and to continue having a variety of whatever things we're thinking about. When we think about the future, it's pretty certain that there's going to be shortages or even famines. Oh yeah, in the Bible it tells you we're going to have famines. Matthew 24:8, Mark 13:8, and Luke 21:11. All of those are saying Jesus is telling us there will be famines and other things as well. So maybe we can't keep the earthquakes from happening, or, well, of course we can't. But there's other things that are happening in those latter days. But the one thing we can always do something about is famine. Have some water and food on hand. To me, it's just reasonable. There have been so many people in history who have died from lack of food. They've starved to death by the millions in Asia, in China, in Russia, every country. It's just so almost normal for people to starve to death. And nowadays, we have a good food supply. And because we have a good food supply, that is the time to get extra food. We can prepare for famines, and that's for sure. When I think about what is going to go on in those end days, it's something that we can always prepare with something. And maybe we don't know exactly what's right, but we can always do something. I think about the advice that you get from how much of things you should have on hand. And I think of that FEMA. They say we should have 270 pounds of wheat for one person for 1 year if wheat is your primary source of food. Well, that's about 155-gallon drum worth. And when I think about some of the other things, well, here's a for instance, sugar. The average American eats 150 pounds of sugar per year. I think that if we would be in a food shortage situation, we would eat about a half to a quarter that amount. But the point is, it's more than you think. More sugar than you think in a year. Salt? Well, we buy salt by those 1 gallon containers. But it is said by the people who make those tabulations that we eat 5 pounds of salt in a year. And cooking oil? Between 2 and 5 gallons a year of cooking oil. So, if we have shortages, we're probably not going to use that much of any of those things. But it does show that we are accustomed to having sugar, salt, and oil in our diet. So, how much do you think we should have? Well, we are all going to be different about that. 150 pounds of sugar. That might not be what we want, but it gives us an idea for what we just might want to have enough of. Sugar, salt, and oil. Just have some on hand. I think it's good to have vitamins on hand, too. Multivitamins. And plenty of spices, because if we're eating plain food, we want those spices to make it interesting. Another thing I recommend is a cast iron cookware, because we don't have a real source of natural iron in any food. But if we use cast iron cookware, we get a good healthy supply of iron, and our blood needs iron to stay healthy. So consider that for whatever it is you're thinking about having on your supply list. No list is going to be complete. I mean, you can look at all sorts of lists, and there's no such thing as a complete list. If you do have those grains, I strongly suggest a manual grain grinder, though, of course, because that means you can make cereal out of the grain, or you can make bread out of the grain. It's just, hey, I just thought of another thing. When you have whole wheat, you can always plant it and get a fresh crop of wheat next year. But it ought to be a non-GMO seed or grain or wheat, because the GMO seeds, grains, and wheat, you probably cannot plant and get anything to grow and produce again. But the non-GMO will produce. So consider that as you are buying your seeds or your wheat or anything else. I know there's always a question of how much should I get? How long do you want your supplies to last? And I don't think there's an answer to that question. I think that every one of us has a different idea of how long we want to have enough food to last for. No answer that I can see. But it's good to think about that question as what your goal is. It makes a difference if you want a month or a year or a week. It's just always different. And also you have to consider what money you have available to buy your supplies with. Everything costs. Even to live from day to day costs. And you have to have your priorities for whatever they are. None of it's cheap. None of it's free. If you want to have your supplies, it probably means you're going to have to give up something to get the supplies you want. And that's just life. That's how it works. But like I said, have the list. The amount of natural disasters in the world, they just keep happening. And I know there's one channel I occasionally listen to. It's two preachers on YouTube. And they go over the things that are happening in the world, the natural disasters like floods and fires and hail. And they really are going on. And we have seen where there has been a river or a stream or a spring or a lake that has turned blood red. And of course people think of Revelation, but it's something that is just a mystery, or they find out the reasoning for why it happened. But the thing is, it did happen. At what point are we in on this prophetic biblical situation? Well, I'm not sure, and I wonder about it. It could be different from what we are thinking. But whatever it is, it still thinks about what we ought to do to prepare for any natural disaster. You just get to figure out what the parameters are of that. Speaking of those natural disasters that two preachers' YouTube channel talks about, another one is Adapt 2030, and they talk about storms and changes in the weather all over the world, too. It's interesting. It really does go to show you that there are events going on that could affect our neighborhood. And therefore, it is surely nice to have a supply of food and other things. So, I know I've been listening to experts for years, and they always talk about what is good to have on hand. They have recommendation, and they have lists. I know for me, I have talked with first responders for years, or various people. And it used to be that everyone talked about a 3-day supply of food and water. Well, that's good, because most of us barely have a 3-day food supply. And so get that 3 days. But after that, think of another longer period of time. Those first responders that I've talked to after natural disasters, there is a pretty good consensus that they say everybody should have 3 weeks of food and water on hand. 3 weeks! Well, everybody has their opinions. And of course, there's people who say longer. They say everybody should have a year's worth of supplies. I don't know about that, but I guess it's a good goal, but you have a lot to deal with if you have that much. Oh, let's see. That 270 pounds of wheat for a year that I talked about, that would fit into one 55-gallon drum. That's pretty much it. But, you know, we still have to have a place to put our 1, 2, or 3, or 4 55-gallon drums. And all I know is there's questions, and you have to be prepared to deal with what you have also, and to preserve it. So, what's coming? What should we do? Everybody has a different answer to that one, don't they? We are not sure what to expect, but you can see in the history of the world that things happen without warning. There is no warning. Not on the short term. I mean, look at us in the United States. We have had warnings that there will be an earthquake coming for all this time. Who gets prepared? Hardly anybody. Who has what they need if an earthquake did strike? Not that many people. So that is something we know could happen, but still, why don't we get prepared? Do you really think it's going to just happen that life goes on in a great and fantastic way, month after month, year after year? Well, it could, but look at the cost to us if we don't have the supplies. Great big cost in our anxiety, in our worry, in our illness even, because without food, we get ill. And sometimes these times of stresses and strains are even good for humanity, because we think of God when we are stressed. We are concerned with our relation with God, Jesus, when we are in a difficult time. And that's something which would really be a good thing if we thought about God. If we thought about our neighbors and helping them and them helping us, that would be a good thing. So there are good things that can happen if we have a hard time. But I don't wish a hard time on anybody, that's for sure. If you're thinking about God, do think about God's holiness and how we want to live a holy life. That is what we aspire to. Even if we don't, we still have it in our mind that that's what we want to do. And then we gradually become more and more faithful in our living. That's how I think it works anyway. So, God speaks to us one way or another. Sometimes it is through difficulties that we hear the will of God. And when those difficulties come, we seek God. We seek to have a relationship with God, Jesus. And so many people go to church after disasters. You know that. So seek God now while you're able, before there is a crisis. Show by your life that you belong to God. That is what we want to do. We always have consequences of how we live. And of course, we think we want everything to go good and wonderful. Of course we do. But a part of that is having a lifestyle that is good and wonderful and faithful to God. I was just listening to, a message from Mario Morello. And he reminds us that there are dark forces at work in this world, and we need to cling to the light of Jesus Christ. One thing he was saying was that we want to be ready to become a wartime pastor. I thought that was interesting. It got my attention. And that means as a part of the body of Christ, whether we're a Christian walking around from day to day, or if we have a home church or home Christian fellowship, somehow we want to consider that we are going to be in a war. That's what the message was addressing. And that means to actively follow Christ in and as a community. That's what I got out of the message anyway. And I don't think it applies just to somebody who would be a pastor, like a wartime pastor. I think it applies to all of us Christians who are seeking to live a Christ-filled life. After all, we are in a spiritual battle. Well, Mario Morello talked about how the systems of the world are coming after you. And with all the systems that are in place, including the ones on your currency and how you spend money and how your spending is tracked, you could see that we would be monitored and at some point attacked. I got the idea that he had been attacked with his banking deposits and what he had in his bank. Well, I think whatever is coming, we have to realize that we are targets because we are Christians. And we cannot hide our head in the sand and say, "Oh, I didn't see anything." No, look around in the world. You can see that there is a one world system coming, and it is coming after you and me. This one world system identifies everything and everyone. We are a number. Every one of us has a number to the system. And there will be no running away from whatever is coming. Because they have your number. Every one of us is always monitored and recorded. Every phone call has been for years. And our spending habits and everything. Tracked. And that's how they get a good idea of who we are and what we will do. That is what artificial intelligence does. It makes predictions about the people we are, and they have gotten really, really, really good at it. We are not going to run away from this one. In fact, America is the last hope of Earth. Every place else is more tracked than we ever are. So what I got out of reading that Mario Morello's communication was that we have to stand strong for the Lord. And here we are on earth. We don't know for how long, and we don't know what we're going to encounter as we are here. So all these things, we still have to be prepared and ready to preach the good news of the gospel. When I say preach, it means talked about. It means expressing love for other people. That's the good news of the gospel. God loves us. And we can express that love to other people because we are Christians. God has demonstrated this to us over and over. And we want to make sure that we profess Jesus Christ and not deny Jesus Christ. Like Matthew 10:33 says, "Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So yeah, let's not have Jesus deny us. So that means as we live, we proclaim Jesus, and we stand strong with Jesus. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So stand. That's what we're going to do in life. And life is limited. Eternity is forever. We want to make sure that we are faithful to God throughout eternity. And a part of that is what happens on earth. This is our practice. That's the way I view it as, our practice time. And at some point, every one of us reaches out to another person. And in a sense, that makes us missionaries. It's not like we're going to another land, but we are speaking to another person about Jesus. And that is what we do. That's what Christians do. And in early America, there were plenty of people who had that love and compassion right in their heart and in their thoughts. That's what they wanted. That was a great part of our early American heritage. It's so sad that we don't learn that in school. But if you study the history, you find it out real clear. So, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus on the cross as the payment for our sins. And somehow we get to talk to that about that to people who are around us. We are missionaries, and this is our missionary field right in front of us, our family, our friends, and people we happen to talk to. It's good news, and we can take it as good news that we want to share with other people. It's in the Bible, and that is what we want to stand strong for. Preach the good news of the gospel while we are on earth and while we can. There is work to be done. Well, call it work or call it love of other people. It still is talking to people, and we are to work while there is light. Yeah, that's in there. Speaking of light, the days are getting shorter, and we should know the time that we are in. The seasons change, and what is the season in the big way? Well, we are to have an understanding of where we are in relation to the end times. Just like now, it's, what is it, an hour and a half? The sun comes up an hour and a half later in the morning than it did this summer, and that makes 3 hours less sunlight in a day, morning and evening. So we know the days are getting shorter. It's easy to tell the time of the year. It's easy to tell that winter is coming. And what that means is to be aware of the seasons. And so that's what we do. We pay attention. And if it's time to share the gospel, pray to the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you when, to whom, and how. We get these senses of the urgency of it, when, especially now, when we find that there's people dying from the current virus that's going around. We see our friends and family who are having trouble, and some of them die, and that means the time is short, and we can tell that this is the season to tell people the good news of the gospel about Jesus Christ. It's what we do as Christians. It's our loving that we share with other people. It's not necessarily preaching that you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. Probably not. Now, that works for some people, and sometimes it is a good realization. But mostly it's the love of Jesus that we talk about, because the love of Jesus is just great and even overwhelming when we realize his sacrifice on the cross for us. And that's what we can always talk about. We can talk to others about what our experience was. What was it that actually caused us to come to Christ? Sometimes it can be embarrassing. Sometimes we wish we didn't have to tell that part of the story. But it does make it something that people identify with and remember. So be willing to follow the Holy Spirit for what you have a sense that you ought to be talking about to another person, especially a non-believer, to urge them to seek Christ, to seek Jesus, our God. Well, for our emergencies, we are never quite sure what they are, but we know we're going to have them in life. And that means we pay attention to what we ought to have on hand. Our emergencies are different for everybody in every way. Now, if an emergency comes along, it means we're going to not have what we want and not have what we need, but we are going to have situations change. There's people who say the Great Reset is going to change everything and we will never go back to normal. Never, ever. So, if that's the case, we will have to view our supplies differently. And what if we could not get resupplied? Well, then we'll have to be very careful with the 270 pounds of wheat that we have, the 50 pounds of sugar and the 5 pounds of salt, 2 gallons of olive oil. Oh, I guess that's what I kind of think of as a minimum. 270 pounds of wheat, 50 pounds of sugar, 5 pounds of salt, and 2 gallons of olive oil. Beyond that, you can get all sorts of things. Vitamins, spices, a manual grain grinder, that big Berkey type of water filter, garden tools, flashlights and batteries. Oh yes, warm clothes. When does it stop? I'm not sure. Oh, water containers and something to carry your water home in. All these things are good. This is a part of what we do for the just in case. Because if that big emergency comes along, if our grid goes down, we are not going to have what we need. That's for sure. And that means we will get by with whatever we have on hand. A part of that is being kind to your neighbors and having them be kind to you. That's a part of love, loving our neighbors. And that, of course, is that great commandment in Matthew 22:38 about love God, love your neighbor. That's the short version of it. So if you want to think about preparedness, you can always get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Oh, and you can always listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lower cases and no spaces. So think about what you can do to show your love to others, your love of God and your love of your neighbor. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.